भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण। फर्स्ट कैंटो 12th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 26। राज दिस चाइल्ड विल बी द फादर एंड किंग्स हु विल बी लाइक सेजेस फॉर वर्ल्ड पीस एंड फॉर द सेक ऑफ रिलीजियन ही विल बी द चैस्टाइजर ऑफ द अपस्टर्ट्स एंड द क्वरलसम। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। द वाइजेस्ट मैन इन द वर्ल्ड इज द डिवोटी ऑफ द लॉर्ड। The sages are called wise men, and there are different types of wise men for different branches of knowledge. Unless, therefore, the king or the head of the state is the wisest man, he cannot control all types of wise men in the state. In the line of royal succession in the family of Maharaj Yudhishthir, all the kings, without exception, were the wisest men of their times. And so also it is foretold about Maharaj Parikshit and his son Maharaj Janamejaya, who was yet to be born. Such wise kings can become chastisers of the upstarts and uprooters of Kali, or quarrelsome elements. As will be clear in the chapters ahead, Maharaj Parikshit wanted to kill the personified Kali, who was attempting to kill a cow, the emblem of peace and religion. The symptoms of Kali are 1. Wine, 2. Women, 3. Gambling, and 4. Slaughterhouses. Wise rulers of all states should take lessons from Maharaj Parikshit in how to maintain peace and morality, first by subduing the upstarts and quarrelsome people who indulge in wine, illicit connection with women, gambling, and meat-eating supplied by regularly maintain slaughterhouses. In this age of Kali, regular licenses issued for maintaining all these different departments of quarrel. So how can they expect peace and morality in the state? The state fathers, therefore, must follow the principles of becoming wiser by devotion to the Lord, by chastising the breaker of discipline, and by uprooting the symptoms of quarrel as mentioned above. If we want blazing fire, we must use dry fuel. Blazing fire and moist fuel go ill together. Peace and morality can prosper only by the principles of Maharaj Parikshit and his followers. Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita that how the knowledge, the divine knowledge, was given by him to the sun god Vivashan, then Vivashan gave it to his son Vaivashata Manu, then Manu gave it to his son Ikshaku, and thus in a disciplic succession this transcendental knowledge was handed over to the chains of kings, those who were ruling the earth those days. And those kings, those who are endowed with this divine knowledge, the transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness, they were called as Rajarshis. Now, here in Srimad Bhagavatam it has been described that Parikshit Maharaj was one such Rajarshi. Not only Parikshit Maharaj, all the kings that came in the line of Maharaj Yudhishthir were all Rajarshis. Rajarshi, the word Rajarshi is a combination of two words, Raja and Rishi. Raja means a king and Rishi means a sage. Now Rajarshi means a saintly king or a person who is actually a sage but for the sake of the benefit of the world has accepted the responsibility of ruling the kingdom. In the Vedic time, the kings didn't become king to enjoy their senses. In the Vedic time, the kings were actually the representatives of Krishna, and they used to lead over a patch of land, and their main concern, their main duty was to educate people in Krishna consciousness. Educate people so that they can become devotees of the Lord. Vedic structure was very, very scientific. Vedic structure means a Varnashram structure. Four Varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and four Ashrams, Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. Now, first of all, these four Varnas have been created by Krishna according to the Gunas and Karmas. Chatur Varnam, Maya Shrishta, Guna Karma Vibhagasa. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the four Varnas have been created by me according to the gunas, according to the inherent propensities of a person or of the persons, and according to their previous activities. In the material nature, everyone is a product of his past karma in the modes of the material nature. In the material nature, we act, and as we act, accordingly we produce a reaction. When we act in the mode of goodness, then the result is joy or enjoyment. When we act in the mode of goodness, then we are elevated to the higher and higher planes of consciousness, which ultimately leads to Krishna consciousness. When we act in the mode of passion, then the reactions are mixed. Reactions are a mixture of joy and misery. And when we act in the mode of ignorance, then the reactions are pure misery. So this is how our actions produce reactions. And accordingly, one either suffers or enjoys. Krishna says, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasah ahankaro vimhuratma kartaham iti manyate. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasah. In the material nature, everyone is acting according to their gunas and karma. But ahankaro vimhuratma, being bewildered by their false ego, they think that they are the doer. Now, when one acts in the mode of goodness and he produces a resultant reaction in the mode of goodness, then he is born in a Brahminical body. His nature develops Brahminical qualities. A person in the mode of goodness is Brahmana. A person in the mode of passion is a Kshatriya. A person who is in a mixed mode of passion and ignorance, he is a Vaishya, and a person who is in the mode of ignorance is a Sudra. So this is how, according to one's own inherent propensities, one is born in a specific Varna, or is born with some specific characteristics. So this is the Varna divisions have been made by Krishna's divine arrangements. And then there are four ashrams. The life had been divided into four sections. The Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. Brahmachari is a student. From the age of 6 till 16, he goes to the Guru's ashram and studies Vedas, especially the higher class of people, the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, sometimes the Vaishyas, but never Shudras. Of course, here also it has been explained that Shudras are never a Shudra by birth. It is not that one becomes a Shudra or a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya by birth. And that has been very, very clearly explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, by the shloka that I quoted just a while ago, Chatur Varnam Maya Shrishta Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Krishna says that what actually matters is the guna and karma, not the birth. Krishna never says the Chatur Varnam Maya Shrishta Janma Adi Vibhagasha. not by janma, not by birth, etc. It is by guna and karma. And it has been further explained that janmana jayate shudra. By birth, everyone is a shudra. By birth, everybody is a shudra. Even a Brahmin son is also a shudra by birth. Because shudra is a person who is in his body consciousness. A person who considers his body to be his self is a shudra. So by birth, everyone thinks that his body is his self. So by birth, everyone is a shudra. Janmana jayate shudra, sangskarat bhavati dvija. By the purificatory process of initiation, one becomes a dvija or a twice born. One gets his second birth by the initiation, by the process of spiritual purification. And that is the guru gives the second birth, the birth of the spirit. Through our parents we got the birth, we were born in the body. The body was born out of our parents. But out of our spiritual master and Veda, the mother, we get our second birth, the birth of the spirit soul. So, sangskara, by this process of purification or by this process of initiation, proper initiation, one becomes a dvija or twice born. Then, Veda pathat bhavet vipra. By studying the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. And brahma janati iti brahmana. And when one acquires the brahma gyan, the knowledge of the absolute, then he becomes a brahmana. So this is how by one's development of consciousness, one is elevated to higher and higher platforms. So by birth, everyone is a shudra, but it is by developing one's consciousness, one is elevated to the higher and higher platform. And the ultimate platform, the platform beyond Brahma or Brahmana, is a Vaishnava. Brahma janati iti Brahmana. When one understands the absolute truth, the transcendental knowledge, then he becomes a Brahmin. But beyond this Brahmin or Brahma realization is the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not only the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but engagement in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one becomes situated in that platform, then he becomes a Vaishnava. So that's why the Vaishnava platform is the highest platform. When one becomes a Vaishnava, he is situated on the highest platform. So, and this becoming a Brahmin or a Vaishnava does not depend on birth, according to Krishna. It simply depends on one's development of consciousness. So here, Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that the duty of a Kshatriya king is to protect the kingdom. Yeah, let me also explain this. There are four varnas, and four different varnas have specific duties towards the society. The duty of a Brahmana is to study the Vedas and give guidance to the society through the Vedic knowledge. That is the duty of a Brahmana. Then, the duty of a Kshatriya is to protect the kingdom. Kshatat trayate iti Kshatriya. Kshat means injury, trayate means delivers, iti Kshatriya. So, with a person who protects the society from injury, the persons who protect the society from injury is a Kshatriya. And Vaishya's business is to cater to the demands of the society. Literally, the business of a Vaishya is to cater to the demands of the society. Vaishya means a businessman, a trader. krishi, goraksha, vanijya. Now these three things, krishi means cultivation of land, goraksha, protection to the cows, and vanijya, or business, was meant for supplying the needs of the society. And actually the definition of business, according to the Vedic definition, is to cater to the demands of the society. Whatever the society needs, a Vaishya is supposed to get it. Society needs food, Vaishya produces food. Society needs milk, Vaishya produces milk. Society needs cloth, Vaishya gets cloth. Society needs spices, society needs so many other things. And a Vaishya's business was to bring them, offer them to the society, and in the process of doing that, he used to make his profit. And that's how Vaishyas used to enjoy. A Kshatriya, when he wants something, he'll just go and grab it. He is very powerful. Kshatriya is like a lion. A lion always gets what he wants. Lion will never take anything that has been acquired by somebody else. Like if there is some animal killed by some other animal, the lion even may starve to death, but the lion will not eat that animal. That's a very beautiful characteristics of a lion. And actually lion is also an animal in the mode of passion. So lion's nature and a kshatriya nature is very alike. The way a lion will go and get everything that he wants, the same way a kshatriya, if he needs something, he'll just go and get it. Like that's why in the Vedic time, the kshatriya marriages was like that. The girl used to be a swayamvara. The girl used to choose her own husband. And if the girl selected her husband, or if some prince or some king liked somebody, some princess, he would just take her away from there. And all the assembled kings will give him resistance. They'll fight. There'll be a big fight. And probably this person who is taking the girl away will fight alone and defeat everybody. Bhishma did that when he went to get the brides for his brothers, for his brother, Vichitravirja. Brother was young and the brother was coronated in the throne, and it is a custom that a king should ascend the throne with a queen. Now Vichitravirja was a young boy and he didn't have any queen, and he was too young to get a queen for himself. So Bhishma went. Bhishma got to know that these three girls are going to select their husband in a swayamvara. So Bhishma just went and grabbed those girls and picked them up in the chariot, and he drove his chariot, and then all the kings came and attacked him. And Bhishma alone, he fought and defeated all of them. So that is how valiant the Kshatriya kings were. So that, and if a Kshatriya needed some land to rule over, he would just go and he would fight and take over that land. So that is the nature of a kshatriya. Because he is in a mode of passion, and mode of passion actually dictates one to enjoy this material nature. And whatever he wants, he will get it. Because the passion means prowess. Passion means domination over the world. But a Vaishya, because he is in a mixed mode of passion and ignorance, he has the desire to enjoy, but he doesn't have the prowess to get it, like a kshatriya. Because of this contamination of the mode of ignorance, he is lazy and weak. So he has the desire to enjoy, but he doesn't have the means or the strength. So the society has supplied him with the facility that he can cater to the demands of the society, and in the process he can make his profit or he can make his money, and he can buy his requirements, or he can fulfill his desires by money. And that is the business of a Vaishya. And a Sudra, he is so dumb that he can't act on his own. So he is guided by others. the senior members of the society, the Brahmana, the Kshatriya, and the Vaishya. So a Sudra is given direction because he cannot act on his own. And as a matter of fact, in this age of Kali, everybody has become Sudra. Ashuddha Sudra Kalpahi Brahmana Koli Shambhava. In the age of Kali, even the Brahmins have become impure and reduced to the position of a Sudra or lower than that. So if the Brahmanas even become like Sudras, then what's going to happen to the rest of the society? So we can well imagine that the whole society has become extremely degraded to the platform of Sudra or even below Sudra. So that's why we notice, it's also very obvious, we notice that most of the people nowadays, they simply want a job. They don't want to do something independently. They do not have the strength or courage of a Kshatriya to take over the land and rule over it. And they all are very, very weak. Even the kings are so weak, they have become subject to their citizens. In democracy, although there are some countries that have the system of the kings, like Sweden has, England has, Belgium has, there's a few countries have still have the kings, but those kings are nothing but puppets in the hands of the cabinet. They just get some money from the citizens and they just try to maintain their profile. So in the age of Kali, or at this present moment, there is no proper king. Actually in Kali there won't be any king as such. And so this is the very basic characteristics. Some people become Vaishyas. There is no Brahmana, there is no Kshatriya, but there is only some Vaishyas, some businessmen. But what is the percentage of the businessmen and industrialists? Only very, very few. And the rest of the society, rest of the population, what are they doing? They're simply accepting jobs. So they have become Sudras. Anyone who takes money against his work, or rather salary for his work, is a Sudra. So that's why a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya will never accept an employment of another person. So that is the position of the higher caste. So in this age of Kali, everyone has become reduced to Sudras. There is no Vaishya, practically no Vaishya. Instead of Vaishya, what we have is a bunch of crooks and cheaters. Like as I mentioned, the Vedic definition of business is to cater to the demands of the society. But the modern definition of business is the noble art of cheating people. You cheat people, but they can't catch you. That's called business. So, there's hardly any Vaishya, there's hardly any Kshatriya, and there's hardly any Brahmana. So that's why Prabhupada wanted to create a society of the Brahmanas. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness was designed to create Brahmanas. And when the Brahmanas are produced, Brahmanas are created, then they will be able to create the other castes or other Varnas. They will be able to create the Kshatriyas and give them directions. They'll be able to direct the Vaishyas and also the Sudras. So, an ideal king's business is to ward off the influence of Kali and re-establish religiosity. And the religiosity means dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma or religiosity means the law given by Krishna. So, when you follow Krishna's instructions, Krishna's law, that is religion. And a noble king, a real king's business is to establish that Krishna consciousness in the society. And it's not only the duty of a king, it's the duty of every single leader of the society. A leader's business is to give people Krishna consciousness. And when people get Krishna consciousness, they immediately become happy, and they make the world also very happy and joyful. But otherwise, this world becomes a very, very hellish place. Like, this world today is very, very hellish. In spite of their so much external opulence and external arrangements and external glamour, this is a very, very painful society. Everybody is miserable. So that's why it's very important that the people, those who are leading the society, must lead them towards Krishna. And this is the duty of every single member of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. They must go out and preach and make people Krishna conscious. And as we do that, then the world will gradually turn into a better place. Otherwise, this world has become even worse than hell. So I stop now. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. I'll make another point. Of course, it's but still it is worth its while to mention. And Prabhupada says that how do we ward off the influence of Kali? By following the four regulative principles and by establishing the four regulative principles. Kali makes his approach through this four sins. Four sins are gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, and meat eating. So through these four sinful activities, Krishna is of course by Krishna's desire, through these sinful activities, the Kali is spreading his influence in this age, and Krishna consciousness is disappearing or receding. Now, if we want to bring back Krishna consciousness, if we want to bring back dharma, religiosity, then we must establish these four regulative principles. That is, we ourselves must follow these four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex. And we must teach others, and if necessary, we must force others to follow these four regulative principles. Then only gradually the world will improve and it will be, the golden age will be established once again in the middle of Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question?
Is that necessary to bring people from
You see, this gradual elevation was prescribed in other ages. From in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapar Yuga, mainly you can say Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga, living entities are gradually elevated from ignorance to passion, passion to goodness, and then from goodness to pure goodness. Right? But in the age of Kali, since the duration of life is very short, since the living entities are very weak-minded, their memory is very weak, they are very physically, they are lazy, the duration of their life is short, and they are always disturbed, troubled by the nature. That's why Krishna has given this process of Sankirtan. And the Sankirtan actually brings one to the transcendental platform. Even from the mode of ignorance, one can be elevated directly by the mercy of Sankirtan Yagga into the mode of pure goodness. So in this age, the gradual elevation hasn't been prescribed. No one can actually gradually elevate. Because most of the people are in ignorance. And from ignorance, yes, you can rise up to the passion. But ignorance and passion, they just rise up and down. Like, in the mode of passion, what do you do? What is the activity of the mode of passion? What is the influence of the mode of passion? Become very active to enjoy, right? And you act like an ass to enjoy, and then you become tired and fall asleep. That is ignorance. Then you wake up again, revitalize your energy, and then again you start working like an ass, right, in the mode of passion. So mode of passion and ignorance, they just go in cycles, right? So one cannot actually penetrate through the mode of passion unless and until one is guided by a very expert spiritual master, right? So, but, did Prabhupada say that? Where? Any religious system? The thing is that Prabhupada is very strictly saying that, you see, for instance, why I'm saying it, because Prabhupada often said that if we cannot allow people to go ahead with whatever nonsense they're doing, and today, in the name of religion, all kinds of nonsense is going on. Everybody says, if somebody comes and says that this is my religion, are you going to just say, well, carry on, I don't want to disturb you? No. We say, I mean, forget your so-called nonsense and just chant Hare Krishna. That's the only religion of this age. Somebody will say, slaughtering cow is my business, my religion. Muslims will say that. Killing cows is my business. Killing people is my business. Right? And raping women is my business. That's what the Muslims are propounding. But we don't say that. We say, stop that nonsense. Chant Hare Krishna. Compassion means being concerned about his welfare. We are compassionate because we are concerned about the welfare. And our business is like that of a doctor. When a doctor goes to a patient, he shoves a needle up his arm. It hurts him. Sometimes he even cuts him open. Right? It hurts him, but it's for his benefit. But if the doctor says, well, I'll be compassionate, I will not hurt him. I'll let him do whatever he wants to do. Then the patient will never get cured. So we have to treat the disease, and that is our compassion. Any other question? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.